in a world where people try to do stuff they don't know how to do. One man, okay, two men, are standing by with the best advice on earth.
Ow.
Well, most of the time. Welcome to the all-around home improvement hour. Now here's Charles Thayer and the man they call the Polish Powerhouse.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the All Around Home Improvement Hour. Right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. All things home improvement related. DIY, exteriors, hiring, do's and don'ts, failures and successes. All right here, all home improvements. Let's get started. We get it done and we do it right. Yeah, hey, welcome Twin Cities News Talk listeners. My name is Charles Thayer, and believe it or not, some people call me the Home Improvement Slayer. That's right. Fueling those home improvement needs that you have. Some people just can't stop improving their home. Maybe even too much. Polish? Is that...
I would say more than enough.
More than enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is the voice of the Polish powerhouse, Nicholas Zeman, my good friend.
Alive and present. Happy to be here.
My colleague and somebody that I spend a whole lot of time with, more than my own family, believe it or not.
Maybe too much at times.
Mm-hmm.
That's debatable, though.
Yeah, but we know how to have a good time, don't we?
I think so.
We know when it's time to go the other way, too, right? Every once in a while.
Sometimes we go that way, sometimes we don't.
Agree to disagree type stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Just want to mention this.
I love the background music. Sorry.
Let's bring on our guests.
All right, let's
join them in on the conversation. But to my right, we have Mike Ubel, the insulator with UZ Insulation.
Never fear, the insulator is here.
Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And to his right, we have the super hot Robin Johnson with High Road Heating and Cooling. Welcome back to the show, Robin.
Hey, everybody.
Awesome. Great time of year. Getting cooler. Leaves are falling.
Yeah.
Football is on. Although I'll be honest with you, this is the least I've watched football in my life. I don't know why.
You're not missing a lot.
Not really missing much.
Yeah.
You guys, is that the same with you guys too? Or
yeah. My nephew plays for St. Michael Albertville. He's a senior. It's fun.
Okay, so you've been.
Yeah, playing. I would agree.
That's really good football.
High school, college. Yep. Yeah.
Not so much NFL though.
If I'm not doing anything.
It's sad. Okay. Yeah. Well, just different for some reason. Used to always, every single week, catch the Vikes. But that being said, fall is a great time to get your homes and projects that you have planned all prepared before it's too late, before it's wintertime and you're not able to do certain things or you're dealing with problems as a result of not being prepared. One of those things that we always want to look at, especially in Minnesota, is our heating systems, our furnaces. Robin, what happens if it's very cold, 10 below, and you find yourself in the middle of a holiday weekend or a weekend without any heat? Isn't that a problem?
Can be, but we offer 24-hour service, so we'll be there if you need us.
So don't worry about it. Don't look at your furnace for years. Leave it. Let it run all the time. Is that what you're saying?
No.
That's terrible advice.
Bad advice, yeah. We don't want you doing that because we want to prolong the life of the furnace, but we want to make sure it goes all winter. So tune-up, of course, is always the way to go.
But it's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people, right? The furnace is sitting tucked away in a utility closet or down in the basement, and things are working. They don't really care. Why is it always seems to fail on a holiday weekend or a weekend in the middle and in the middle of winter when it's the coldest?
Because it's taxed. It's probably running too hot because it hasn't been tuned up. The filter probably hasn't been changed. And it's just, there's too many people in the house. It can't keep up. And the next thing you know, something breaks.
And there's no insulation in the attic.
Right. Yeah.
That's why
so it's running.
Running, so much.
It's running all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So last week we had Ruben Saltzman on the show, and he talked about just some things homeowners can do to check the health of their furnace, right? And he talked about starting it at, and putting it at a higher temperature and seeing if it stays on for 10 minutes. Because if it doesn't, if it cycles down...
Short cycling, I think you
before,
call it.
Before it satisfies that temperature, that thermostat, right? Short cycling. Right. That's the sign of a future problem. How do you feel about that?
Yes, it depends, though, on temperature outside. You know, if you're doing it and it's a really nice day, it's going to be a little bit more challenging to get it up to the temperature you want it set at. So, and... As a homeowner, do you know what you're looking for to make sure? Just because it's turning off doesn't mean there isn't more going on. Or even if it reaches that temperature, you don't know that there isn't something else going on in that box. So you really need a professional to take a look at it. It's the best way because we can foresee things that might happen. And this is a year that you want to get ahead of any parts that need to be replaced or any repairs because, like all the other industries, we're in short supply. Really? It scares me this year. With furnaces because we need heat. So if you have a furnace that you know needs a repair, it's time now to get us out there because it may take 3 or 4 weeks for us to get to your part.
Wow.
Are people going as far as like, let's say you replace a furnace that still works, but you know it's 20 years old. Are people wanting to keep the old furnace to resell it to someone that might need it? Or recycle it and it...
We usually recycle it, or they might want it for their cabin or their hunting shack or as a garage heater. We put a lot of used furnaces in as garage heaters.
Sure, okay.
But we make sure, though, it's in good condition. It's one that's been maintained, and people just upgraded because they wanted something more efficient, more reliable, and under warranty. But the furnace is still in good shape, so then we put it in as a garage heater for someone or them as the homeowner or a hunting shack.
In a weird way, I feel like all the stuff that's happening will make people a little bit more resourceful and maybe appreciative to have what they have, knowing that it can't, it's not snap of a finger and I have a new furnace or a new roof or, you know, insulation's done and what, you know, so taking care of the things that you have, replacing the filter,
maintaining,
making sure you get it serviced once a year.
Right.
So Robin, speaking of hunting shacks, right? Cause I do a little bit of that, you know, hunt. Mm-hmm. why is it that the first time you turn the furnaces on, like, you know, for us, it's an RV, so it's a miniature furnace, right? But it's still a furnace, right? You can hear that squirrel cage, and it's so much louder until it finally warms up, and the smell of burnt stuff gets out of the air. What's going on with that?
It's just heating up, so everything, there's dust on it. Yeah. So it's the dust that's really getting cleared off, moved out. You know, it's kind of creaked. There might be some cobwebs in the air. So it's just got to warm up to get to where it needs to be. So you get a little bit of funny noise, and you get a little smell. And once it starts running on a regular basis, those things go away.
So, my daughter always says, the house is on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just starting the furnace for the first time. It's going to smell a little weird.
Yeah, but that wheel, it almost sounds like there's metal touching metal some parts, right? And so it just, and the older it gets, the more they do that. Those small furnaces, those are kind of fussy, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and it's a unique situation and it gets out of balance over a period of time. So then all of a sudden you have a little metal on metal, so it's going to make some noises for you until it probably heats up and seats together better.
Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. Hearing a nice lady talk about something so technical in the trades. Do you ever get men that are just like, how do you know that stuff? Or like just surprised like they didn't.
Yeah, when I walk up to the door sometimes, because I do a lot of the previews in our company, I don't do the repairs, but I do the previews, and they kind of look at me and wonder, what do you know? Yeah. Well, I can put in your furnace.
Do you have someone else that could help me answer some of these questions? Yeah. Anyone qualified? And just oblivious.
Pretty old-fashioned way of thinking. We're going to learn just like Ben do. I'd venture to say maybe.
But it's unique. Faster. It's not that you're common. Right.
No, there's not a lot of women in the industry. I'd love to see more. It's a fun industry. It's constantly changing. I'm learning something new every day. But in those cases, I just tell the homeowner, I'm happy to put in your furnace or replace your air conditioner. It's just going to take me a week. So I'm going to be at your house for about a week. Or we can get my pro in here who'll do it in a day. But he won't be able to help you find the right solution for your house because it's not just an 80% or a high efficient furnace. There's so many other things that you can choose from to be more comfortable and more efficient in your home.
Will you help with hunting shack furnaces?
Oh, sure. Happy to.
Even on an RV?
Those are a little bit more challenging for us because that's not really what we do. But of course, we'll take a look at it for you, Charles.
For a good friend, right?
Yeah,
you know,
for a
like
good friend.
Wink, wink, right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, you hunt. Ever had furnace issues up at Hunting Shack?
We have a wood burner.
Okay. Oh, there's no issues there, right?
No. Well, except for you got to get the wood.
You might die, but, you know, besides the dying part, if you can get over that, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Wait. No, but we do have an RV also, so I know the noises you're talking about and the smell. And
when you say wood burner, is it a fire outdoor wood burner?
No. Inside? No, these are inside. We both, both our places, we have the nice glass front. So you can watch it, you know?
Yeah.
You can't beat it. I mean...
It's nice.
I'm not putting down furnaces, but watching that fire...
No, just, but that's part of hunting camp
ambiance of it, right?
Where you got the smell of the wood burning and looking at the fire.
And then you're chopping the wood.
But you guys go out there smelling like a chimney stack.
Yeah.
Get up in the tree, right? The deer...
Hey!
They're like, ah, oh, it's just another chimney stack, or it's just Smokey the Bear sitting up there.
That's right.
Right?
Hey, it's but like you said, it's part of the whole trip and
makes it feel more hunty.
Yeah. I feel like it does,
Gotcha. Yep. All right, cool. We're up against the first break. When we come back, more topics on this winter and how we need to be more prepared. And let's get into some attic health talk as well. We'll be right back, right here on the All Around Home Improvement Hour.
M.
Hey, welcome back. It's the All Around Home Improvement Hour, and believe it or not, we're already talking furnaces, and we're talking you better be prepared. You better make sure your furnace is actually operating properly and not operating unsafely. Many reasons for that. Obviously, your safety and health, but also you may be in short supply of the material you need if you find yourself having a problem in the winter time. So we're hanging out with Mike Huber with UZ Insulation and Robin Johnson with High Road Heating and Cooling. Robin, off air, you were just telling a story about a customer that you had, 50-some-year-old furnace working right, but not so much.
Actually, 36-year-old furnace.
Oh,
and so
50-year-old customer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still really a little more furnace.
So that's they've gotten a lot of life out of that furnace. When I opened the door, though, the heat exchangers were gone. They've rusted away. But the thing the homeowner said was, but my furnace is still working. And when your heat exchanger goes, it doesn't shut the furnace off. There's no safety value for you there, other than if you have a carbon monoxide detector, which they had, but it was 12 years old. It's expired, so it doesn't react to the carbon monoxide. So the homeowner did ask me, is that why we're tired all winter? Yes. The carbon monoxide was creating problems in their bodies and creating them to be very tired in the winter. The one thing they do is they sleep with their window with a crack open in it. And that probably is what saved them.
I was just going to say, too, because, I mean, you're basically potentially saving someone's life.
Yes.
Or the both of them in that case where you're saying your furnace is working, but, oh, my gosh, this is a huge red flag.
Well, and also on the reverse is true. We might go and do a tune-up and find out that you have a crack in your heat exchanger that's dangerous.
Yep.
Not all cracks in your heat exchanger are dangerous, but there are levels that are. And so we turn your furnace off. I mean, literally, we take the control board with us because we've been in your home. We've left you with a working appliance if we don't. And a lot of people, when we leave, turn their furnace back on because they want heat and they're not ready to spend the money on a new furnace. We do not want to leave you in a situation where you could kill yourself and your family.
Well, and then have that potential liability. Not that would be your fault per se, but just to think that.
Right.
I mean, so what do you do? I mean, what are they? So if someone, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you right. If somebody calls and you go out and you notice they have an unsafe furnace, but they don't have the money to replace it,
we loan them heat. Temporary heaters, plug in electric heaters, and we figure out what we can do. We find different financing options for them, different community ways to pay for it if they can't.
Sure.
Most of it is people don't want to.
Right.
People ask me all the time, who's your biggest competitor? And it's granite countertops. People like granite countertops. They want their kitchen to be pretty. But if they have to replace their furnace or put in granite countertops, they're going to live with the old furnace and put in the countertops.
I'd rather have cardboard countertops.
Heat. So it's interesting, but it's a scary situation. But we do show you where the crack is in the heat exchanger, why you're getting carbon monoxide. So you know, it's not a question. We have cameras. We want you to know. But there's safe cracks in heat exchangers that aren't emitting the carbon monoxide that's going to kill you. It's still going through the flue. So we check all that.
Something else I find fascinating, Mike, maybe you know this, but a lot of times people that are ready to get a new furnace, or it's time to get a new furnace, they really should, they find out that their furnace is too big. Their current furnace is too big. A lot of people think bigger is better, and the more furnace I have, the more heat I have. High Road actually determined that my original furnace was too big. They downsized it, and the home heats up better. Did you know that?
No.
Robin, yes, maybe you can explain?
If we size it correctly, it's going to run for the right period of time where we want long run times. And in this day and age, it costs you less for that long run time with the furnace versus an older one. And it keeps you more comfortable and keeps the house warm and at the temperature.
But why is bigger worse?
Because it starts, heats real fast, and stops, keeps turning on and off real fast.
Oh, I see.
That creates a lot of electricity usage, a lot of gas usage, and you don't feel comfortable. You get, the house gets real hot, then it gets cold and turns back on, gets real hot. Where with the long run times, when it's just pumping out warm air constantly, you feel more comfortable.
Keeps it at a more consistent temperature then.
Yep. Yeah.
The contents in your home need time to actually be the temperature you want them to be, not just the air that's passing by the thermostat.
Yeah, you got to get everything to that room temperature, whatever that might be.
Yeah, plus anything mechanical, you look at anything mechanical, period, and the things that wear out the most are the moving parts that get used more often. And so if something is turning on, turning off, right? Yeah, and so, well, I had one of those huge furnaces. I was so proud of my huge furnace, too. Really, it made me
look at this thing.
Pretty important, and that, like, I got one, you know, five times the size of what I need, and so when working with Robin and Dennis and determining what the next best option was going to be, it ended up being a smaller furnace. It took a while to get used to it, right? My ego took a hit there a little bit.
Okay.
But eventually, we noticed the difference. We're really, really happy.
Okay, thank you.
It's a York, right? York?
Yep.
I don't care what it is.
As long as it works, right?
But that's a pretty good brand.
Yes, we like that brand.
You guys are preferred York contractors?
We are Luxair, which is the little brother to York. Okay. Now, we switched because of our supplier.
Okay.
But it's a great brand. It doesn't have a great reputation online when you Google it, but we absolutely love it. We're not coming to your house at night. You usually don't see us after we install it.
Right.
And if you are seeing us, it's because something we did, not what the manufacturer did. So we're very happy. It's a very forgiving brand of furnace. In that our ductwork is not sized right in any of our homes. And so with the Luxair brand, we can program the fan to work with your ductwork to make sure we're getting the heating and the cooling you need correctly through your ductwork.
Yeah.
So we program it for you too. We don't just leave it at the manufacturer setting. So.
Okay, cool. What do you have any specific thoughts or any topics you want to talk about with the listeners before the break?
Well, I just want to talk about, since we have Mike with us today, I put insulation in my ceiling, in my attic, and the difference it made in my home with my heating and my cooling. Number one, I could set my temperature colder in the summer. Mm-hmm. I was doing 68 degrees, and we put insulation in our attic, and the next thing you know, our house was less humid, and we had the temperature set at 73, and we were more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw significant price decrease in our gas and our electric usage with our heat.
We needed it this year.
Yeah. And I had a 20-year-old house at the time we did it. And it was unbelievable how much more comfortable we were by adding the right insulation in the attic.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. You can actually tell with homes that have inefficient attic spaces. I feel like in the summertime, you can feel the hot air radiating
coming down
onto your forehead from a ceiling that's not insulated very well. You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Yeah, I'm a bald guy. I can really feel it. No, it does. It radiates right through the sheetrock. And it's 150 degrees up in the attic, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. But it does.
And it shouldn't be 150 degrees, right?
Well, above the insulation, but not at your sheetrock level. Okay. You know what I mean? Because it does. It beats right, like you say, right through into the house, you know. So your air conditioner, like you say, runs constantly, and you have a hard time just keeping the temperature at what you want it.
Yeah.
Now, Robin, do any of the HVAC system parts or pieces run into the attic? Do you guys ever have components that are in the attic space?
The 80% efficient furnaces are usually vented out through the attic.
Okay.
And sometimes air-to-air exchangers are vented out through the attic, but it goes out the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Into, nothing is ever vented into the attic.
No, I didn't.
But we
think
might,
so.
You know, your kitchen hood, your exhaust hood might be exhausted, and the attic space is used for that as well.
So, and do you ever see any problems with the way people's attics are insulated or sealed up or anything when you guys are there working on that kind of stuff?
All the time.
Really?
You know, usually the venting gets popped or bent somehow. We don't know how. Could be critters or whatever. But then we get up there and sometimes we see holes where there's no insulation whatsoever.
Or it's been popped or bent since day one, the
right.
installation date, right?
Yep.
Which sometimes is the case. And those problems can get pretty ugly down the road.
Yep. You guys are really good about bringing us in or other people to make sure the venting's all put in correctly after you've done the roof or you guys have taken care of it. Very few roofing contractors do that.
Yeah.
You know, or we find that the venting was just shingled over. You know, they cut it off and shingled over it. No, it's not, because it does create a lot of problems in the attic. So we see that all the time.
Well, we've had people before that say, hey, well, you know, that galvanized pipe, that we don't use that anymore. We want to get rid of it. And we'll always say, that's fine. We can do that. But first, we need to be 100% certain it's not. And there's been times where we came up and we're like, well, that's actually your water heater.
Absolutely.
You need that there.
Yep.
We will not be taking that off. I'm sorry.
That's an important one.
Sorry to break the bad news to you, but
we got
to
leave that one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sounds pretty typical. And I think it's always out of sight, out of mind. People just don't deal with things they can't see. You know, when was the last time you hopped up in your attic space? Well, you know what? We're going to find out what happens when you neglect that attic space for too long. We will be right back to start the conversation with Mike Ubel, the insulator with UZ Insulation. We'll be right back right after this. It's the all-around home improvement hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Polish Powerhouse and myself, Slayer Thayer, are hanging out in the studio with Robin Johnson, with High Road Heating and Cooling, and also the insulator, Mike Ubel, with UZ Insulation. We're talking about, well, a lot of things. Heating, getting ready for winter, making sure your furnace is where it needs to be.
Yep.
A lot of great stuff talked about. If you missed it, catch us on the podcast. But Robin's still in studio with us here today to continue the conversation. Moving up into the attic space, a lot of times people just ignore their attic space. They think that it really has to do with keeping the nice warm air in your home.
There's nothing good going on up there.
Right. Yeah, it's just extra space unused. There can be a lot going on up there, and it's not just for the hot and cold, keeping the home efficient or whatnot. It's also about moisture management. And so in studio, we have Mike Ubel, the insulator. Welcome back, Michael.
Hello, hello.
Yes, yes. So someone told me that you've been doing insulation since Jesus himself was around.
Well, since the Ark, remember?
Since the Ark, before
Jesus. I helped waterproof it.
Oh, my goodness, man. That is crazy.
Long time.
Kept everyone warm on there, too.
Did the animals really come in twosies?
Yes. A couple snuck on extra, but mostly twosies.
Was closed cell spray foam available back then?
On special order from Bob.
Was it? Okay. Fair enough.
Special order. The lead times weren't as long as they are now, though, for special order items, though.
No doubt about it.
Mike, just talk about some of the biggest problems that you see with attic spaces today. Just in general, what are the biggest problems you see inside your average attic space that you go to inspect?
Mostly the open bypasses, which is the interior air leaking into the attic, and the ventilation.
Okay, so just to keep this a little simple for those,
Yes.
The air that's inside your living space is controlled air that you've made a certain temperature and you want to keep it that way.
Correct.
It has a certain amount of moisture in it that maybe you've, with High Road, you added a moisture humidifier or dehumidifier. Vapor. Yep.
Air on the furnace. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Air exchanger.
April air, a lot of them are called.
All that. So you're spending effort, time, resources, money to keep the air a certain way, and the bypasses, you're saying, are those holes, crevices, cracks, where it's leaking into the uncontrolled space, which is the attic space.
Correct.
And that's a problem because?
Well, it can create frost, mold. That's the air you do not want in your attic, especially during the wintertime. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want it any time of the year, but the winter it can cause real damage.
Now, I think a lot of people don't realize that air in the attic space, if the attic is doing its job and your home is functioning well and it's in good health, that attic space should be as close to the outside air or mirroring the outside conditions as closely as possible.
Correct.
Right. Yep. But now, how come in the summer there's just no way to achieve that? Because summer, it's just too hot?
Well, I hate to tell you guys, but it's because they switched the shingles to black or dark colors.
Oh, that's all right.
No. But I mean,
I have nothing against dark shingles.
If you study Texas,
it's
where
the truth.
Yeah, where they commercially have made them go with white, the energy savings was over 30%, and they don't have a lot of that problem.
Yeah, they look for there's different products that have like coating for the granules that
reflect
help. Yep.
Yeah, reflect
with the UVs and stuff.
Yeah, but in the summer, you know, it just. You know, because it's just like a black pavement or if you go on a cement, you know, when you're walking, the difference.
Big
it's
difference.
It's the same with shingles.
Yeah. Well, and you got to remember the air going in there isn't that cool either. I mean,
no,
especially
right,
this year
correct.
When it's been, you know, all of June and July where, did we get below 90? I can't remember.
No. So there's just no way to have, in the summertime, your attic space be the same as if it's 80 degrees outside. It's obviously going to be hotter in the...
Yeah, but with correct ventilation, you definitely can bring the temperature, you know, more equal.
Manageable.
You know, manageable, yep. Yeah.
Right, but in the wintertime, it's possible with a really well-insulated space to have the attic temperature be very close to the outside. So that gap is smaller in the wintertime.
Correct.
Okay. Well, the other thing with ventilation, too, from just not an insulation standpoint, but you mentioned the shingles, is that you're going to bake your shingles faster if you don't have proper intake. So is the soffits, right? The air getting in there, and then making sure your insulation's not blocking it, but then also exhaust the vents on the roof to get the air out. You can actually take a shingle that might last 30 years. You might be lucky to get 20.
Because it is so much hotter.
It's basically you're baking the shingle, I guess I would say, from the inside out, right? From the bottom side through the sheathing on the roof.
Yeah.
And that's why shingle manufacturers have requirements that you have to meet for ventilation, not just exhaust venting, but intake as well, which doesn't have anything to do with the shingles, but there's no point to have the vents up there for the air to breathe out if there's no air going in.
Yeah, it'd be like the asphalt on a road is meant to get, you know, very hot on a hot summer day. But if the ground underneath it were also extremely hot, mm-hmm. right, that asphalt has no chance. It's not going to last long. So that's basically what's happening on the roof.
Yep, ages it faster.
Okay, all right. So number one problem is leaking air into the attic space. And what is that going to do to our attic spaces, the leaking air, in the wintertime primarily?
Well, especially if you have moisture in the house. I mean, besides your heating bill, you know, you're losing your warm air or cool air in the summer. If you have an April air or humidifier, which a lot of people like, that moisture is going up in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And
no big deal, though, right? Because I have moisture in my house, so I can live with it in here. Why not in the attic?
Well, people don't like icicles on the outside of their house, but in the attic, they're way worse.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's where you get water staining on the sheetrock. Or a lot of times people don't even realize it till the roof sheathing starts to warp. You know, like mm-hmm. you guys would know, well, that's all coming from moisture from inside the house getting into the attic.
Well, and two things happen, right? We'll get a phone call and they'll say, hey, the roof that you put on in you know, April is now leaking in January. And you're like, well, it's not the roof. You either have an ice dam, one, right? Or number two, you have issues with the insulation, which is one of the more common ones that we see, because if they know, well, I don't have an ice dam, okay, well, you had frost in your attic, it got warm enough, now all that frost melted, and now you got these stains showing up, and in some really bad cases, you're physically actually seeing water dripping from your ceiling.
Yeah. Or through the light fixtures.
Or through the light fixtures, bathroom fans, I mean, you name it.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, we do hundreds of roofs a year, and 90-something percent of the callbacks that we get, which isn't very many callbacks, but over 90% of the callbacks we do get, it's not the roof. It's 99. Something else. Higher than 99. It's, you know, what people say, well, I didn't have this problem before. Okay, well, let's take a look at what could be happening. Let's take a look at your moisture, your interior moisture. And I don't think people realize how bad that moisture can be if it gets in the attic space.
It's really the cold snaps that do it, too, when you get those polar vortexes that come through and it's, you know, negative 20 for 7 days or more. And then all of a sudden after that, you get a day that maybe, let's just say, it hits 28 degrees and the sun's out. Well, that's enough, depending on how much snow cover you have on your roof, to melt whatever condensation, which then frost, right, froze to the bottom side of the sheeting, that then melts. So, and it becomes a big problem. So I always say those are the times where we usually expect the phone to ring at least a couple times from people, past customers, wondering what's happening. But we do try to educate the customers, too. We provide things for condensation, ice damming, that kind of stuff, that whether they read it or not, I don't know what percentage of the people are doing that, but we're at least giving them some of the info so they can kind of do some of the troubleshooting themselves. And whether or not that saves us unnecessary phone calls, I'm not sure, but ultimately we're happy to take the call and at least get them pointed, like, to you know, guys at UZ and say, hey, you need to get an insulator in there. You need to look at this and get the bypasses sealed.
Robin, you had mentioned the improvements you did on your attic space. What were those improvements, and how are you noticing such a difference?
Well, we just added more insulation. It was a 20-year-old house, and our electric bill and gas bill were kind of high, and we were not comfortable in the house. I had put everything in the house, of course, in the mechanical room to make us more comfortable. So we knew the next step was insulation.
And they just added a blow-in type of product to raise the level of
the R value. Mm-hmm. And then there was a firewall. We had a vaulted ceiling, and then over our bedrooms, just regular 8-foot ceilings, there was a firewall that wasn't insulated at all up there. So we insulated that as well. And the next thing you know, we were able to lower our temperatures in the winter, feel more comfortable. Less humid in the summer, mm-hmm. and we were able to raise our temperature there. It was one of the best things we did in our home to improve our comfort level, but also our efficiency.
So not just saying this either, but when you say it was the best thing we did, I don't get credit very often from my wife. I'll be honest. She rarely gives me credit for anything.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the show's recorded, right?
And most of the time, you got ripped off. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have thought of this. Okay. But last night, we were talking about how we don't really ever have any critters in the house ever anymore, right? Because we live out in the woods. There's mice. Every once in a while, you get a mouse in the house. But it's been a very long time. And she said, you know, ever since you hired those insulation guys to do the rim joist, put insulation around the foundation, right? That was the smartest thing you've ever done. And I looked at her and I said, really? Like, the smartest thing? Like, in the history of me, that's the smartest thing I've ever done. So,
well, besides marrying her, I think she might be onto something.
Yeah. I was wondering that one.
I'm the second smartest thing she ever done.
Mike, you are going to hold the title as the smartest thing I've ever done.
Sounds like he's welcome at the Thayer house anytime.
Yeah, you really are. She has not been that way about every other decision I've made, but that one seems to be a winner. I just couldn't help but really smile and think about it. Like, that's the thing I succeeded in the most. But it's not just attic spaces. It's insulating in a lot of other areas.
Yes, correct.
When we come back, because we have one more segment, let's talk about why that rim joist, that area, is so effective if it's done right.
Okay? Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back for the final segment right here on the All Around Home Improvement Hour. Sweet. It's the All Around Home Improvement Hour final segment. Should probably remind people that Nick and I at All Around specialize in exteriors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, and doors. You know that, Nick?
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
Except for the day we're doing radio.
Right. Well, when I leave here, I'm going to go back to doing that.
That's right. Yep. That is right. No, we are out of Long Lake, just outside of Wayzata, Orono area to the west, but we cover the entire Twin Cities metro area, and we specialize in your exterior. So that roof, the windows, siding, decks, doors, everything on the outside of your home. We don't touch the ground. That is better left to other people. Mm-hmm. But if you need our help, we'd love to work with you. And if you're in an association, if you're on the board, or maybe you're a property manager and manage a commercial building or a multi-housing building, we work with a lot of property managers and do a lot of commercial work as well. Matter of fact, today we're holding a CMCA event for education, and we have about 30 property managers at our facility in Long Lake enjoying some education and some snacks and food and having a good time out there. So shout out to Kyle and Jessica for putting in the work to assemble that event. Just want a little shameless plug.
Education team assemble.
Yeah, we don't plug very often, but when we do, watch out. It's pretty epic. Nope, we'd love to work with you. Go to allaround.com. That's all I have to say about that. Before the break, hanging out in studio here with Robin Johnson with High Road Heating and Cooling, the Polish Powerhouse, and Mike Ubel, the insulator. Mike, let's just talk about the smartest decision that I've ever made in my life.
In your life, yeah. Which is to say, don't forget that part.
Having the rim joist, or basically the lid of the foundation wall all the way around my home.
It's where the concrete stops and the wood starts.
Yep. Having that insulated. Homes don't typically have that insulated right away. Or is that happening now? Is that code now or what?
Yeah, it is cold now, but like you say, for a couple hundred years. And it wasn't that they didn't insulate it, but they usually used fiberglass.
Yeah, just a bat insulation, right?
Correct.
Yep.
So the air still leaked through it. You know, it doesn't stop the air. I mean, it might have helped a little bit with the heating bill, but not much. You know what I mean?
So now builders are required to spray foam that whole exterior
correct
rim?
Well, they're required to seal it, and spray foam is pretty much the only or the best way to do it,
most efficient way to do
correct.
It correct, because they're going to take the most efficient way possible,
those darn builders.
There's a lot of good builders out there.
Well, you get all the cracks and crevices and correct. That stuff starts expanding. It's pretty amazing some of the areas it can get into.
So, but if it, you know, says anything about how well that stuff seals, it obviously filled up all of the critter holes, you know, at our home. We haven't had, that's where I got the credit for it. She could care less about the savings. She could care less about, like, you know, moisture management or any of that stuff. But if a mouse steps in that house, oh, it's a big deal.
I just want to know, how deep of a hole is he digging himself right now?
We won't go there.
He might have to spray foam his way out.
Yeah.
He might have to spray foam me in a box.
Or that
you might have lost your title.
Yeah. As what? So, but it's pretty important.
Yeah, well, what the spray foam does is, if you talk to an animal critter person that traps them, the mice and most critters go by a scent trail. So when we spray foamed your rim, see, it shut off all that inside air getting out, and they couldn't tell or want to come in. You know, they couldn't smell you cooking bacon or cooking food, you know, and that's what draws them in there. And the warm air. They know it's warm inside your house.
Yeah, I heard mice are a lot like the Polish Powerhouse. About every 18 steps, they urinate a little bit. And that's
how that it works?
Yeah, well, you're not that bad.
I can go more than 18
yeah,
steps.
Yeah, you're maybe 36. But they do. They urinate about every 18 steps, and that's how they follow.
They leave a sail trail.
They follow each
trail.
Other around. Yeah. That's how the others Scent know trail. Where one got in, and that's a part of their survival tactics.
Correct.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. But so the spray foam, they can't chew their way through that stuff.
Yes.
They can.
Yeah, they can. Okay. I mean, I'm not lying. You know,
don't lie. Yeah.
No, not today. But if you shut off that scent trail, see, then they don't know.
Don't have where interest.
Any reason to even go in. Right?
What would they be digging to or chewing their way through, right?
Well, don't they look for the heat? Isn't that what they want?
Then they're going to your air conditioner.
Oh, is that want to get one of the wires
we
off?
We love mice in the air conditioner.
They're in there a lot.
They live in there because it's hot, because you've left the disconnect plugged in outside, and then they chew the wires. So come spring, when it's time to turn the AC on, it doesn't work.
Just put a board on the top, right, Robin? Don't put that vinyl.
Don't cover it.
Cover.
Put something on the top. I always put a piece of plywood with a brick on the top of it to hold it.
Yes.
Yep. Because you don't need to insulate it.
Polish powerhouse? You're covering the whole thing?
A lot of people like to do that, but it's not.
You don't want to admit it.
I'll be honest. I'm not doing either one of those.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he's fine. You don't have woods in your house. You don't have any tree cover.
No.
Yeah. So you don't have to do anything.
And mine faces north, too. Right. So mine is like,
stays pretty cool. I have everything. I have the Acorn Rage annual season
event. Charles needs to do it.
It's coming in hardcore.
And we recommend you pull the disconnect out. Flip it and put it back in. We can help you depending on your disconnect, tell you how to do that, or we can come take care of it for you. That shuts the power off to the outdoor unit, which means it's not heating anymore. So now they're not wanting to come into your air conditioner.
Is that the
is it heating in the winter then, even when it's off?
It's off. There's still electric getting to it, so there's still warm spots inside the unit.
Small current.
Right.
Yeah.
So they find that and live in there and have a party all winter long, and then come spring, you have a pretty big wiring.
They build their house.
You got to put in.
I never thought of that.
Okay, so I'll be honest. No. I don't do the disconnect thing.
Right, me either.
Are you talking like pull the fuse on the outside then?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I also don't cover it completely. So
right, you just cover the top.
Right, which so maybe they're like, no, this isn't a very cool place to hang out.
No.
It wouldn't be, as long as we keep the electric away from the outdoor unit in the winter.
Yeah, they can do it.
So in other words, do the disconnect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got a little box outside by the air conditioner. That's your disconnect, and you want to open that and pull the disconnect out. I flip mine around and put it back in. It doesn't plug in.
So can Charles electrocute himself doing that?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm, you're safe. Right. He's okay. That's or you bring it in the house or the garage and you put it somewhere that says AC disconnect so you remember where it is for the spring.
Yeah, and the next spring you're like, God darn it, I swear this thing worked last year.
Yeah.
Where is it at? It's right on the...
It's right by the air conditioner.
It looks like a breaker box.
It looks like a tiny little breaker box.
Service panel.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's not, it's usually not on the air conditioner. It's mounted on the...
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
Yep. I only know of them from siding jobs where they'll take and pull that out, the same thing, take the power off of it, take it off the wall.
All right.
Because I've had mice chew my wires up twice now in 20 some years, but still, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's going to be.
What advice? Hey.
There you go. There's that golden nugget that you got out of the show. I'm telling you, every week, always learning more. Okay, let's do this. We're on the home stretch. Mike Ubel, UZ Insulation. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Oh, give us a call at the office at 763-767-9524.
One more time.
763-767-9524.
And online?
Look us up on the web at uzinsulation.com.
Uzinsulation.com. And final thoughts for the listeners.
Oh, everybody, just have a lovely fall.
Yep, that's right. Yep. It is. It is going to be that. It is that. Thank you. Robin Johnson, High Road Heating and Cooling, your hometown team out of the West Metro. Final thoughts for the listeners.
763-477-3331. Give your furnace a hug. It'll love you back. Mm-hmm. And highroadheating.com. So, and it's High Road, HIGHROAD heating.com.
Where we always take the high road.
Always choose the high road.
Always choose the high road. Take the high road. Right.
And then I just want to put a shout out to my senior nephew, Jarrett, number 20 on STMA football. Go Knights. And Jarrett, have a great year.
St. Michael Knights.
I'll follow that up. Yeah. I don't have anyone, but go Tigers.
I was just thinking the other day, what's Red Wing? The town of Red Wing. Are they the Red Wing Red Wings?
I don't know.
I think they're the Rockets.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not, I think so. Red Wing, Red Wings. Something like that,
I was just, I don't know why that randomly came to mind. Like, we're the Red Wing Red Wings.
That is pretty random.
Super red.
All right. We should say go Vikes, too, just because.
Yeah. Go Vikes!
Come on, Vikes,
I haven't been paying attention much, but you know what? I am a hometown guy.
Yes, I am.
Right when they start winning playoff games, I'll hop right back on them.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Anyway, don't hold your breath.
Thank you, everybody. We appreciate your support. Have a great weekend, and God bless.